It's safe to say that Stephen Paul and Michael Pierce's talk on hot legal trends went to the dogs. In large part, their 50-minute presentation focused on pets. Paul, an attorney, and Pierce, a property manager, threw out hypothetical scenarios to the audience and challenged them to handle the situations correctly. Paul, a senior partner and chairman at the law firm Paul & McKay, started them off.
We don't take pets at our property, but when I was in my tenant's unit, I noticed they had a, God forbid, a dog. So I went back to my office, I prepared a 3-day notice to perform covenant or quit, and served on the tenant. Any problems?
While there's no legal violation here, Pierce, president of Prodessa Property Group, explained a better approach that foreshadowed a major theme in the presentation, the need to communicate.
Reach out to the tenant, talk to them, find out what the story is. Why is the pet there? It could be somebody pet sitting. Maybe you just need to kind of remind them that they need to get their lease back out, all 27 pages of it, and reread it. That's the best approach.
The primary focus in the pet's talk centered on tenant requests for assistive animals, including what property managers can and can't ask.
Can you ask what the disability is? No. But can you find out what the nexus is between the perceived disability and the accommodation they're requesting? You know, who's the third party medical professional or service professional, either a psychoanalyst, a psychologist, a mental service counselor? Who's going to write this up?
It is good to check, because not everyone who claims to have a disability requiring an assistive animal is being forthright. The person might be just trying to get around a no-pet policy or avoid paying higher fees.
By the way, that's the new game in town, so you know. Michael and I move in together, we have Fluffy, and I don't want to pay pet rent. That sucks. So all of a sudden it becomes a companion animal.
And there is a market out there for third-party professionals to fraudulently attest to a pet's role as an assistive animal. Sometimes it doesn't even need to be a pet to be certified. Paul's managing partner, Karen McKay, has proof.
She went online last year. There's a group in LA that you can do this online for $25. And she got her daughter's doll as a service animal. And so we have a certificate in our office certifying that the doll is a service animal.
A disabled tenant's right to an assistive animal isn't always in sync with the property manager's responsibility to keep residents safe.
Do I have to allow
companion pet elephants,
the pet Doberman, or the companion Rottweiler, the companion pit bull? How about the companion rattlesnake? Can you be breed specific is the question. Mm-hmm. And the answer is, according to HUD, yes, but you have to be open to engaging in the interactive process. You have to talk to the tenant.
It is true that some tenants with disabilities need more than one assistive animal. But what if the assistive animal has a disability?
Fluffy gets kind of depressed during the day. So since Fluffy gets depressed, Fluffy needs a companion animal because she gets lonely. Is that okay?
So now we need a note from Fluffy's doctor, right?
How many think it's okay? How many think I have to allow Fluffy to have the companion animal? A companion animal is not entitled to a companion animal. It's your disability.
Paul and Pierce made this presentation this spring at the Santa Clara Convention Center during the California Apartment Association's Northern California Rental Housing Conference and Expo. They'll tackle the hottest legal issues again in August when Southern California Expo comes to Anaheim. Check caanet.org for details in the coming weeks.
Again, I'm talking between us. We're friends.